Now, if you do have your Bible with you this morning, please do turn back to that short passage in Mark chapter 1 as we look at the idea of prayer this morning. Now, this morning we're going to start a two-week series just at the end of the school holidays before normality hits and everything begins once more. And we're going to be thinking about discipleship, as this is our year of discipleship. We looked at discipleship earlier in the year, I think in January time, but I thought it was important that we should focus on it again and have a think through why discipleship is so important. And throughout this year, we are hoping that we, first of all, are encouraged to be disciples, but we also want to encourage others to be disciples. In the Great Commission at the end of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus calls his disciples to go and make disciples. Not just believers, not just followers, but to make disciples. And that call is the same for us today. Now, over the next couple of weeks, we are going to focus on the basics in terms of discipleship. And we're going to think about our own personal walk with God. Now, what I want to focus on this morning is prayer. That's what I want to focus on today, prayer. Prayer is so fundamental, isn't it, in the Christian life, that even throughout the Bible, it's almost simply assumed that that is what happened. People pray throughout the Bible. They pray. They seek after the Lord. They speak to the Lord. And it's the case that when things go wrong in the Bible, it's often because people are not praying and they don't focus upon the Lord. For example, during the time of the Judges, in the book of Judges, the people did what they saw as fit in their own eyes. They didn't think about God at all. They didn't seek after the Lord at all. And things didn't go well with them until they were forced into a place where they had to come to the Lord. And he sent a judge to deliver them. Prayer is assumed in the Bible, and it's assumed in the Christian life. And we too are called to pray. Now, this morning what I want to focus on is the fact that Jesus prayed. That Jesus prayed. Now, for most of us, that is not a surprise, is it? That Jesus prayed. Until actually we think about it in a bit more depth. Because actually, who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. He is the Messiah. He is all of this and much more besides, isn't he? He is the one who was there at the beginning when the whole universe was created. He was there when the earth was formed from the dust. He was there when everything in it, the seas, the plants, the trees, all the living creatures, when humans were created, Jesus was there. He is the one who lived in eternal glory with the Father. And yet he is the one who chose to come into the world, fully divine, yet fully man. He is the sinless Savior. And if you think about it, out of all the people who have ever lived, Jesus was the last person who needed to pray, wasn't he? If you think about it, he was the last person that needed to pray. And so actually, what we find in the Gospels where Jesus prays, if we think about it, is quite unexpected. And the passage that we read today is only one of a number of examples where we find Jesus in prayer. You see, so often in our lives, if we're honest with ourselves, we don't see the importance of prayer. We see prayer as something that's optional. If things are going badly, oh, I suppose I'll pray. Occasionally we might give thanks if things are going well, but not always. Sometimes we think of prayer as a last resort. If nothing else works, if I can't work this out in my own strength, oh, then I'll pray. Sometimes that's what we think, isn't it? Often if we're honest, we try to do things in our own strength. We rely on ourselves, relying on what we think is best, rather than relying upon the Lord. And yet here, what do we see? We see Jesus. Jesus, who was there with his Father from the very beginning. The one who'd come into the world as a savior of the world. And here he is, praying. That's quite something, isn't it? In our passage this morning, we see Jesus leaving the house of Simon and Andrew, where he had been staying. And we see that he left very early in the morning, when it was still dark. The night before, if you look just at the context of this passage, looked at from a human perspective, was a triumph. Jesus had gone with James and John and Simon and Andrew, and he'd gone to Simon and Andrew's house. Simon's mother-in-law had been ill in bed, and Jesus had healed her. And she got up out of her bed, and she waited upon them. And then that evening, after sunset, so late in the day, the people from that town brought to Jesus all their sick, all their demon-possessed. Indeed, it says in verse 34 that the whole town gathered at the door, which must have been quite something. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He drove out many demons. It was a triumph from a human perspective. Now, after the busyness of the evening before, where do we find Jesus? We don't find him in bed. Even though that may have been understandable. After all, what happened the night before, you would have expected Jesus to be tired. After all those healings, after, you know, casting out all these demons, you would expect Jesus to be tired the next day. But we don't find him in bed. We don't find him planning the next meeting for that town, or reveling in the memories of what happened in the night before. Where do we find him? We find him early in the morning, away from the house, in a solitary place, and in prayer. And it clearly surprised Simon and the others, didn't it? Because they went to find him. Jesus, everyone is looking for you. Where have you been? You see, perhaps Simon and the others, they expected Jesus to continue that work that had happened the night before. It was great, wasn't it? The publicity had been great. This is a great way of getting the message out. That's what they expected from Jesus. But Jesus was away in a solitary place praying. And when the disciples do find him, and they say, "Where have you been?" Jesus' response to the disciples is perhaps surprising. What does Jesus say? "Let's go somewhere else." That's interesting, isn't it? "Let's go somewhere else. Why would you do that? You just had a brilliant time in that town. There's going to be others that you could heal, others that you could cast demons out of. This is where it was happening at that time." What does Jesus say? "Let's go somewhere else." Now, you can't read this without realizing what Jesus says here must be related to him praying. It's when he's been communicating with the Father that he comes to this decision. As he's been there early in the morning, he realizes the Father is saying, "Go elsewhere. There are other towns that you need to go to." And if you notice, when it's noted that Jesus prays in the Gospels, it's often when he was faced with a decision to make or a crisis point. But it's also pointed out that this is his regular pattern, that he would often go away to solitary places and to pray. Jesus prays. The very one that we would have thought didn't need to pray. And yet here he is in prayer, speaking with the Father. This is a lesson for us, isn't it? You see, we too need to be a people of prayer. We too need to pray. It's as essential as eating or drinking or breathing. We need to pray, to seek after the Lord, to speak with him. After all, we were made to know God. And through Jesus, we can come into his presence. And so it's a real privilege to come before him and to pray and to speak with him.
And Jesus makes it a priority. Early in the morning, he goes and he prays. He might have been tired, but he makes that time. He goes and he prays because he wanted to spend time with the Father. What about us this morning? Is prayer a priority for our lives? Is it something that we do? Or is it something we realize we need to get back to doing? Perhaps our prayer life was good a number of years ago. We had a really good pattern for prayer. We felt really close with God. And yet we've lost our way. Maybe Jesus is saying to you this morning, you need to come back. Back to that pattern of prayer. Seeking after me. You see, sometimes people will say to me, you know, other people seem to have a really exciting spiritual life, but God never seems to speak to me. Sometimes I say to them, well, are you speaking to him? Because if you're not speaking to him, if you're not spending time with him, how do you expect God to speak to you? Do you expect him just to zap you from heaven? Is that what you're expecting? I'm sure God in his sovereignty can do that. But God wants us to spend time with him. He wants us to come to him. And when we do come to him, he will speak to us. As we see in this passage here, Jesus is clearly seeking after, where should I go? When the disciples come, Jesus says, we need to go to the other towns because I must preach the message there. If we're not spending time with God, if we're not praying, can we expect God to speak, really? You see, it's when we seek after God that he speaks to us. And he leads us. And he guides us. He longs for us to come to him. To bring our trivial thoughts and desires before him. To bring the huge things before him. That he might minister to us. And lead us. And guide us. You see, so often we're so slow, aren't we, to bring these things before God. We have a huge problem in our life and we think, you know, if I can just do this or I can sort out that and then we'll be okay and hopefully it'll work out. And then we suddenly realize, I can't do it. There's no possibility. I cannot do it. Oh, I better pray. Well, if you prayed in the first place, maybe it would have worked out. Why don't we pray more quickly? Because we are called to pray and to seek after God. Will we pray? After all, what a privilege it is to come into God's presence each and every day. You see, we are called to follow in Jesus' footsteps. Because if he prayed and he's the Son of God, then it makes sense that we also should pray. You see, it's when we pray that we get a true perspective on things. Because as we submit ourselves to God, as we submit ourselves to his will, we recognize that we are but the dust. That it's all about him and it's not about us. How often does our lives revolve around us, really? And our desires, what I want to do. We see that in among our children, don't we? I've got two boys, as you know. You know, if one wants to watch something on the television, the other person wants to watch something else. You know, they're at each other. I want to do this. I want to do that. Sometimes we can be like that. We're just more subtle about it, aren't we? I want to do this with my life. I want to go to this place. This is what I want to do. It's when we humble ourselves before God and say, God, what would you like me to do? Where would you lead me? Where would you guide me? Because that's far better than whatever I would want to do. We submit ourselves to God. We recognize we are but the dust. And it's all about him. It's not about us. You see, prayer brings us to a place of humility. Because we recognize our complete and utter dependence upon God. Because actually we are powerless to change anything of significance. But God can do anything. Have you ever tried to move a mountain? You ever tried to do that? Of course you haven't. Why not? Because you're too puny. Some of you have got big muscles here today, but you can't move a mountain, can you? It's too heavy. It's too big for us to move. But God can move mountains. And we'll do so if we only ask. That's an incredible thing, isn't it? Jesus says that to the disciples. If only we'd ask to move a mountain, God will do it. That's incredible. God can do it. He can move mountains. God can do these things because he is an incredible God. And we owe him absolutely everything. Everything. He is our creator. He is our sustainer. He is our redeemer. And he asks us, frail humanity, frail human beings, us who have probably not achieved much in our life, some of us have, some of us haven't, whatever it is, he asks us to come and to spend time with him, Almighty God. How can we not do so? Why would we not? Ought this not to be something that we desire to do in our life? To come before God? When we were on holiday recently, seems a long time ago now, but it wasn't that long ago, I often spend a bit of time thinking through and praying through where we're going as a church. And the Church of Scotland is struggling, as we know. Okay, membership is going through the floor. We locally have to face up to those kind of challenges as well. And there's so much that we could do as a church, and so much we are doing as a church in so many different areas. But when I was thinking through everything and praying about it, what I really felt the Lord saying to me was, actually, in the midst of all the difficulties, in the midst of all that's going on in the church, what we really ought to do is to pray. That's it. Now, that might seem to you like an underwhelming answer, but to me, that's completely liberating. What an answer that is. Because we cannot change one life, even ourselves, but God can. We cannot change the Church of Scotland. The problems in the Church of Scotland are far too much for us to deal with. But God can deal with them. We can do all kinds of initiatives locally. We can try all kinds of things. And we have been doing different things as God has led us. But perhaps it's harder just to still ourselves before God and say, Lord, where do you want us to go? What do you want us to do? And Lord God, will you work in people's lives and draw them to yourself? You see, what are we here for as a church? If we learn anything from Jesus in this story this morning, it's not to be popular, necessarily. If Jesus wanted to be popular, he would have stayed where he was. But he didn't. Why? Because he recognized he was called to go elsewhere, to other villages, to preach there too. He knew what his mission was. He knew what his calling was. And he stuck to it. And I encourage you today, if Jesus needed to pray, then so do we. Desperately, we need to pray. We need to seek after the Lord. We need to do it individually. What a privilege to come before Almighty God. Sometimes we see prayer as a chore. Oh, I've got to spend 5 minutes in prayer today. Is that really our attitude? Sometimes we just need to change our mindset and say, what a wonder it is to spend time before God in prayer. I tell you what, my experience is always when I've spent time with God in prayer in the morning, my day is far better. You know, sometimes I come to the end of the day, I think, you know, that was a terrible day. That was actually truly awful. And you know what? I didn't pray before it. Quite often that's the case. We need to do it individually. But we also need to do it corporately. See, what do you notice in the early church? That they came together, they didn't just chat with one another. They didn't just have fellowship with one another, although they did. What did they do? They prayed. They were always praying. So I encourage you, pray. Please pray. We need to pray. It's essential to us. Pray as an individual. Come and pray corporately. Tuesday morning, women that pray, 9:30. Wednesday fellowship, 7 o'clock, Bible study. 8 o'clock prayer. If you just want to come for the prayer, that's absolutely fine. Come 8 o'clock. Do we see this as a priority? If we do, then let's do it. Let's pray. And let's not see it as a chore. Let's see it as a privilege. You see, it isn't complicated. Prayer is not complicated. It's simply speaking to God, seeking after him, seeking what's on his heart, pouring out our own thoughts, our own difficulties, praying for our family, praying for our friends, praying for our neighbor, praying for our work situation. God wants to know your hearts, your needs, your joys, your sorrows. He's big enough to take your anger and your lament. Just look at the Psalms. I encourage you, if you're already praying, renew your efforts to pray. If you aren't praying, please start, because you're missing out. Why not start today? Oh, wonderful. It doesn't have to be for a long time. 2 minutes will do. 5 minutes, that's fine. Just spend time with the Lord and say, it's wonderful, Lord, to be in your presence, to thank you for all that you are, all you have done. Lord God, will you lead me? Will you guide me? Will you help me? Together as God's people, may we be a people of prayer. Shall we just pray together? Let's pray. Loving Lord God, what a privilege it is to come before you in prayer. And we do ask for forgiveness, Lord God, for those times when we've seen prayer as a chore, or prayer as an added extra or optional extra. We recognize, Lord God, that prayer is as essential as eating or drinking or breathing. And we thank you for your word to us today. We see the example of Jesus. Jesus, out of anyone who has ever been, who probably didn't need to pray, and yet he did. He sought after you, Heavenly Father. And Lord God, if Jesus prayed, then we too need to pray. And so, Lord God, in humility, we come before you. We come before your throne of grace. And we thank you that we can speak to you. We can speak to you about our joys and our sorrows. We can speak to you about whatever's on our heart. We can come before you with confidence, knowing that you know all things, knowing that you know us intimately, and that you're able and you're powerful to act in whatever situation we bring before you. Loving Lord God, we ask for forgiveness for those times when we haven't prayed, for those times when we've thought more highly of ourselves than we ought to have done, and so therefore we've tried to do things in our own strength. Lord God, it's when we come before you, we recognize our weakness. We recognize that we are but the dust. And you are Almighty God. It's you that we want to honor. You that we want to glorify. You that we want to praise. So Heavenly Father, we ask that you would help us to pray, that we would be willing to set aside time to come before you as individuals and corporately as a church. And that, Lord God, as we seek after you, that you would move mountains, even here in West Kilbride. So, loving Lord God, we thank you that we can draw near to you, and we pray that we would know your closeness now, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.